United States senator that had two or three candidates, George Rawlings, one of them, and nice Clyde Duvall, another one, and then a professor from over at Washington and Lee, who had no chance. But the net effect of that three-way primary in 1970, the Colvin's his name. Do you know him?
Know the name.
His presence in there gave the nomination to George Rawlings, who couldn't possibly win. And I don't guess Duvall could either, but it gave the nomination to the most, in Virginia context, extreme liberal. And those things have caused people to shy away from the primary, though in a sense, they cannot repudiate the primary because it's the history of the Democratic Party. At least they've given lip service to the primary, and they have to sort of continue it. I don't know. We may go through in a couple of more years. We'll be back to having primaries. But the tendency now in congressional districts and in localities, in lesser races than statewide races, is to go to the convention. But of course, you know, each party committee in each Democratic area has the authority to say whether they want to have a primary or a convention.
Oh, this is, I heard the story that that Labor endorsed Holton after a battle speech that was distributed but never given, delivered. The speech that attacked Howell, written by a speechwriter for Battle and given to AP and put out over the wire, but when Battle saw it, he did not deliver the speech.
I am not sure that happened before Labor endorsed Holton. I don't know. I have forgotten. I remember dimly something about that, but I don't recall that figured in the labor thing very strongly. I don't remember. I'd have to check with Julian Carper or
I'm going to
Mr.
see him
Smith.
Today so I can check.
Ask Julian about it. I just don't remember that. It seemed to me that came afterwards. And
what is the role of organized labor now in Virginia politics? How is it perceived? Is its endorsement considered an asset?
I think so. Generally, yes.
And is it growing? Its influence?
Probably. Of course, an endorsement by the leadership is good, and it gets a man some votes, but Labor doesn't vote monolithically. Of course, they split on racial issues and things like the other. That is, of course, you know, the blue-collar votes for Wallace and Howell. And there's some against them, I mean, because of the race thing. But on the whole, I would say that Labor coming along and they swing quite a few votes.
Are they getting more sophisticated?
I believe they are. They're getting more sophisticated and better organized at the polls and putting more money into it.
Do you see that the political parties in Virginia aligning as reflections of the national parties or not in that direction?
Well, of course, they both continue an affiliation with the national. The Republicans are more closely reflecting the national party than the Democrats, but now let me pause and re-examine that. What is the Democratic Party in Virginia? Who are they now? That's a good question. It ranges from the Howell wing. Henry says he's coming back to be a Democrat, to still a good contributing Democrat, and on the listed on the program, the contributors for the Jefferson Jackson Day dinner this year, Colgate Darden, governor in, way back in the 1940s, and one of the a Byrd organization man, who, however, has turned out to be one of the most enlightened and liberal and genuine philosophers. Have you talked to Darden at all?
Not
on
yet.
This? I'd go get him. He's good. You can catch him on a day here.
I hope to see him.
What is a Democrat? It's hard to tell. You've got Democrats like Colgate Darden and Andy Miller, and then you get over to Henry Howell and George Rawlings. It's the same old Democratic Party. It is a more liberal and more in Virginia. It is more democratic and livelier in many ways than it was in the days when the Byrd organization had such tight control.
Is any group in the legislature that's equivalent of the Young Turks in the 1950s, the present legislature?
It's not drawn along the same lines, and you don't have the same parallel. You have no Byrd organization that has the control of the thing. You have no one strong political organization that is running things. You have in the Senate of Virginia, which once was just as tight, a little group with maybe one or two dissenting votes, no more than three or four. You have that now, a seesaw fluid thing where there are two groups of Democrats, where the moderate liberal Democrats more often than not can get a majority. Well, I hate to say more often than not, but I mean it swings back and forth depending on the issue and how they line up, that the moderate liberal combination seems to prevail more often than the moderate conservative.
Does there remain three basic wings of the Democratic Party?
In Virginia?
Right.
I would say at least three.
So the Byrd Democrats.
But of course, most of the right wing, most of the Byrd Democrats, many of them have left the party to go Republican, or have just left it to be in a sort of a no man's land, middle ground, independent.
Is this conservative party out of business in Virginia?
I think it is, because the conservative party was basically a segregationist. It came into being because of dissatisfaction among the South Side segregationists with Mills Godwin in '65, and then it flowered under Wallace. I mean, it aligned itself with Wallace in the late 60s, in 68. And now I think it is just evaporating as a...
Has it gone into the Republican Party, basically?
I don't know. I would guess perhaps they have sided more with the Republicans than they have with the Democrats. Of course, last year... Howell got some of the conservative leaders and some of the conservative votes. I'm speaking of the capital C conservative party types, or the Wallace Party, the American Independent Party, the American Party. We wound up, you see, they split in Virginia, as it may have happened in other states. There was a disagreement among the conservative segregationists. The Wallace cliques, there were two contending parties for the honor of supporting George Wallace there in 68, 69, 70, all that confusion. I think that it is fading rapidly, but...
Do you see most of the Wallace vote in Virginia moving back to the Democrats? At least the non-rural Wallace vote. Urban Wallace vote, the blue-collar worker.
It would probably, I would guess it depend on the candidates and the particular issues. I think Henry Howell got a good, strong chunk of the urban, suburban Wallace we'll call it that.
Do you see Howell as running again for governor or other statewide office?
He won't rule it out. I did a piece, I don't know whether I'll give you a page of it if you like, just a long interview with Henry Howell that we ran. I put the tape recorder in front of him and just let it run. And he wound up saying he might try it again. He wouldn't rule it out. He wouldn't rule anything out. Wouldn't rule anything in, you know. In effect, he seemed to confirm that he would probably run for state senator in Norfolk next year. And then from there, decide. And depending on what happened in the 76 presidential election, he might run for governor again in 77.
Is there a chance that, not even rephrase that, some people I've talked to see Howell as somebody who's usually a little bit ahead of the people, and that if Howell runs again in 77, that his 73 issues may be sort of mainstream issues by that time.
Could be. Of course, he came on with basically the same issues from 69 to 73, did he not? And it may be that, by 77. Virginia moves slowly, you know.
There seems to be a consensus, I don't know if you disagree with this, but there seems to be a consensus that Howell made two major strategic errors in his campaign, one on releasing his poll, which mobilized the Godwin people, and the other in detailing his tax plan, which just alienated a lot of people unnecessarily. Hmm. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think he probably did, and the Godwin people, Godwin thinks he did, and how that's another thing you might buy. Tear sheets of these things. I did long interviews with Godwin and Howell. You may not have seen them. They were in the Sunday section in early January. There might be some quotes in there if you're
interested. I'd like to see that, particularly the Godwin piece. How do you characterize Godwin as a politician?
I think he's generally, he has been a very cool and careful politician, balancing the realities and moving in the direction that he thinks the main parade is going, which is what Harry Byrd never got I wasn't here in the early when Harry Byrd was really operating as a progressive governor and making his reputation. But what I've always heard and what it seemed to be was that Byrd would never get too far, and it's been said of a lot of political leaders, never get too far out ahead of the parade and always look back over your shoulder and be sure they're coming and see which way they're wanting to go and go in that direction. Well, Byrd, I don't know, of course, in his later years, he probably got up in the Senate and got too remote from the state. But I think to get back to where I started before I wandered off, Mills Godwin, he's fairly realistic, and he is a conservative in the sense of moving progressively enough to conserve as much as possible of the old order. In the sense of the old established, because he's grown up in and been financed by the established Virginia establishment, to be redundant.
What's the role of blacks in politics?
What's the role of blacks in politics in Virginia?
Is there any sort of statewide black organization?
There is the Crusade for Voters, yes.
Does that extend much beyond Richmond?
It does now. If you haven't talked to Dr. Thornton, Dr. William Thornton here in Richmond, I suggest you might try him, because he is the head and voice of the crusade, and they represent a considerable little chunk of votes most of the time. It started as the Richmond Crusade for Voters, and then it expanded. There were some other groups, and they sort of merged to the Virginia Crusade for Voters. Dr. Thornton, oh, there's several others.
Do you detect a growing disinterest among blacks insofar as politics are concerned or not?
No, I don't think so. I haven't talked to many of them, I don't know. But I would say that on the contrary, that there is as much, if not maybe more, growing interest among blacks.
Is voter registration increasing, the turnout?
It's hard to get any comparative statistics now because it is illegal to register people as black or white.
They don't designate by race in Virginia?
No. Well, the United States Supreme Court said you can't do it.
South Carolina does it.
How did they get away with it? I don't know. At least, of course, the Negro leaders, the black leaders, have a pretty good idea, I guess. And you can look at the precincts and so on and get an idea. And I have not done so lately. I haven't checked up. I've forgotten what the figures are that we tried to get last year on how many black voters there are.
So it's really unknown in Virginia. I mean, it's an estimate.
Yes, as far as I know, I don't know. As I say, I haven't checked lately, and I certainly don't know myself at the moment. I just have the impression that there's a fairly steady increase in them.
How do you analyze Andy Miller's role in the Democratic Party at the moment? Is he considered the heir apparent, or is there an heir apparent to the party leadership?
Well, he is it. He is the senior elected state Virginia Democrat now, and he is, I would guess, whether he's their main hope or not, he is the old cliche, the logical contender, the logical heir and all that.
If you had to guess about his political future, would you guess he'd run for the Senate against Scott or run for governor?
I would guess that he'd run for governor, but it is quite possible that he would wait and run against Scott. I hear that lately. I don't know. I had always thought that he was pointing for governor, but he may run for senator now. The speculation in its wild, and I don't know that maybe Bill Spahn will come out of somewhere and run for governor in 1960. 1977, I think it's a very slim possibility. And I haven't talked to Spahn about it, and I don't think he would admit it, even if he's toying with the idea. What was it that there was not somebody who cooked up another possibility that would have Andy opting to run for Senate after, or maybe if Howell comes on strong? Suppose the Democrats come back in 76 presidentially and sweep the country with some coup. I don't know. Not Ted Kennedy, or maybe, or I don't know. And let us say Howell looks very formidable or runs and wins. Howell, when I talked to him, and that piece was a little bit bitter about Andy Miller, and a little bit of it crept out, so I don't know that they will get along. I'm just thinking, though, and there has been some speculation about Andy waiting and running for the Senate.
I think the Democrats have three strong potential statewide candidates in Spahn, Howell, and Miller. Would that be fair?
Yes, of course, the question is whether Spahn is as strong as he once would have been, and the question is a very big question, whether Spahn really wants to get back in there. I don't know that he does. There may be some others around. I don't see them at this point.
But as I understand it, as a year ago, there was this, you know, Republicans were making predictions they were going to control the legislature.
Is this Rita Blasey?
Do you see, is Watergate having an inhibiting effect on Republican growth in Virginia?
I think it has slowed it down, and it's been one of the things. Yes. It appears that way at the moment.
Am I correct that most of the Republicans who lost in the legislative races last year, incumbents, were considered members of more of the Obenchain wing of the party?
Oh, it'd be hard for me to say offhand. I think that's true in several striking cases up in Northern Virginia. I believe it is the Republicans of the more of the Obenchain complexion that lost, like George Mason Green, for instance, who was a ringleader in the putting Obenchain over. He got defeated. Several others in that general context lost. But I think that more moderate Republicans also lost. I would have to look at the list and check it over to be sure.
Who's the minority leader majority leader in the House of Delegates?
Majority leader in the House of Delegates is Jim Thompson, James M. Thompson, who is the brother of Mrs. Harry F. Byrd, Jr., who is Gretchen Thompson. Harry Byrd's brother-in-law is still Democratic majority leader in the House.
Several people commented to me they were sort of surprised to see him taking some leadership positions, basically supporting certain goals of organized labor.
Yes, that is in a way, but he represents Alexandria, which is a mixed constituency intending to be liberal. Liberal Democrats have gotten control of the city Democratic Committee up there in the organization. Alexandria's always been sort of a mixed thing. It sends conservatives and liberals down there. I mean, Jim Thompson was very much one of the Byrd organization people when he first came here in 1954-56, whenever it was, and went along with the Byrd organization then, but he has changed and evolved with that urban Alexandria.
Is he a statewide candidate?
Beg your pardon?
Is he considered a potential statewide candidate?
In a way, yes, but it is assumed that his goal is the speakership of the House and that he would keep coming back until he got the speakership. And then I don't know, though, that anybody really thinks that he is pointing at anything statewide or that he would really be a viable statewide.
Well, there's a lot we haven't covered, but is there anything specific that we haven't covered that you think
offhand, no, I don't know anything, but I'd be glad to. You got any other specific questions, right?
Could you tell me what happened in the Democratic caucus last year? As I understand, for the first time, the Democrats took some party discipline after the election.
The House Democratic Caucus, you're speaking
right.
Of the House of Delegates Democratic Caucus. They met in December before the General Assembly was to convene. There were about 60 of them present, roughly 60. The question was whether to readmit as Democrats several members of the House who ran for re-election as independents last year. In brief, they readmitted five who ran as independents and who asked to come back. The five who ran as independents without any Democratic opposition, that is, who did not oppose Democratic nominees. There were two others. Stanley Owen and
Owens
of Prince William County, and another delegate from the same place, Murphy, oh, what's his first name, Bill Murphy, or whatever it is, who had asked about readmission to the Democratic caucus. They ran as independents and defeated Democrats, Democratic nominees.
Were they both incumbents?
Yes, they were both incumbents. And Stan Owens, the chief one, was chairman of the House Finance Committee. The caucus voted not to readmit people like that who had run as independents and had beaten Democratic nominees. And it was a close vote, though. If you need the exact figure, you can get it, but it was, there were three or four votes difference. I mean, the difference was not large. I've forgotten what it was. But the caucus voted not to readmit the Democrats who wanted back if they had run against Democratic nominees and beaten them. Now then, later in the session, after Stanley Owens, because he was not admitted, he lost the chairmanship of the House Finance Committee, went to the bottom of the seniority list, the independents did. The circumstances, I've forgotten the exact reason, but later on, they readmitted Owens as a member that he wanted to come back to the Democratic Party after he had forfeited and paid the penalties and everything. He did. He was admitted back into the Democratic caucus and is now in again as a Democrat, but he paid a small penalty.
In effect, he lost his seniority.
He lost his seniority.
How about the other member?
The other member was so new that it's hard to say. He did not come back. I don't think he applied, unless he did later on when I wasn't around. They had caucus meetings every week or so. Owens was the one. And why exactly, I meant to ask him before we left, why he didn't want to come on back, but apparently for future political purposes in that area, Prince William and Loudoun County is their house district.
Is it a proper interpretation of that, that is likely to put the brakes on hard on any future shifting?
I think it will put the brakes on, yes. I mean, it will depend on local situation and personalities.
And I'm also correct that that is unprecedented from the standpoint of imposing party discipline.
You mean this is the first time the Democrats have imposed such party discipline?
Right.
I would hesitate to say that emphatically. Lacey Putney, a Democrat from Bedford County, several years ago opted to run for re-election as an independent, and he has stayed independent. He has won. He has kept his membership to the committees, but he's gone to he's listed below all the Democrats and so on in seniority. There have been spasmodic attempts and disciplines in the Democratic State Central Committee and its Congressional District Committees. We're getting away from the Democratic Caucus of the House of Delegates and the legislature now. But I don't know that we had ever had any real clear-cut issue like this posed before.
Would this be the most dramatic instance, then, of the party discipline?
I suppose so. I did not see it as a particularly dramatic thing, but it was an interesting and significant one. It will be remembered by all candidates, I'm sure. In the legislative field.
And I am correct, aren't I, that roughly a year ago the Republicans were projecting a major win for governor and
they
talking of it.
I don't know whether even they really believed it, but of course in January, a year ago, January, February, when all this talk was about, well, Nixon was riding high, just been re-inaugurated. That was before
and you had members
before all these things.
Pulling out of the Democratic Party.
That's right.
Independence.
That was when the talk was that they might switch, and there was an honest lot of uncertainty amongst some of those moderate conservative Democrats looking at the election returns of November 1972, and the Nixon was riding high, and Nixon got 68, 69% of the vote in Virginia and just murdered.
How is Godwin handling party matters?
He is not. He is leaving it to the Republicans.
How about his appointments? Is he appointing many Republicans?
He is appointing Republicans and Democrats. He's reappointed some Holton people, and he's replaced one or two Holton people with Republicans and former Democrats. I don't know. There's no clear.
As I understand, is he appointing a lot of people he had on working in his previous administration?
Yes, well, some of them carried over through the Holton administration, and he has not acted on quite a few of the major state jobs, and what he'll do about them, always one or two questions in doubt, but there's no great change or cleavage there. I do not see any real significant move by Godwin yet to make any.
How do you evaluate Colgate-Darden's role over this 25-year period?
Well, of course, through much of it, he was at the University of Virginia as president of the university, and he was sort of aloof from it. But he was an advisor and a participant and a sort of a benevolent senior statesman hanging around. He did, in this 25 years, after he retired from the University of Virginia,